Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 8th on the West Coast, now February the 9th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We would also like to welcome all of you listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. We appreciate you helping us spread the word. Spread the truth, and hope you also enjoy the show. Well, we have a very interesting guest with us tonight, and before we open the show and bring him on, he will be very involved in this discussion, by the way. With all the different events that are going on around the world right now, and, you know, there's a lot of denial amongst those that we call the sheeple, the ones who are still asleep and have no clue as to what's going on. Those that are confused, they're awake, but they're confused as to what to, I'll use the word believe, because in their words they would say, well, I don't know what to believe. We stress over and over, night after night on Evident Footprints, I and my guests stress that we are not asking you to believe anything. We want you to know. There's a big, big difference. And so we encourage you to do research. We encourage you to keep an open heart. We've talked about that. We're going to be talking about that tonight. And I gave some consideration as to how I could look at the overall status of the planetary mind, the conscious mind of the masses, and what supports that system, the media, whether it's TV, radio, newspapers, magazines, the indoctrination in the school, religion, and certainly the political scenarios that are presented to us on a silver platter almost on a daily basis now. And it seemed to me that we could talk about, at least at the outset of the show tonight, about one word that describes what people are doing when everything is illusion. They must be doing something. And it dawned on me that we're just pretending.
can prevail. Everybody knows strong love can't fail. Don't be pretending about how you feel. Don't be pretending. Your love is real. Don't be pretending about how you feel. Don't be pretending. Your love is real.
Eric Clapton's version of Pretending. Well, that is a love song, or a song about love gone bad. And I suppose even a love song would be appropriate in that context, because love ultimately is everything. And we're pretending we love our country, or we're pretending that we know what's going on in our country or in other parts of the world. And pretending has a starting point. I'm not pretending I have a guest. I do have one who's been waiting patiently in the wings. You can trust that. He is qualified to speak about these topics as a clinical and forensic psychologist who has worked with many young prisoners in the bureaucratic prison system. He is a metaphysician, a very prolific author of metaphysical works, and I'm proud to have him as a friend and a fellow BBSRadio.com talk show host. He hosts his own show called Zero Point every other every second Saturday. And his website is ZeroPoint.ca, my good friend, Christopher Holmes, Ph.D. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. Pleasure to be back with you. Yeah, we certainly live in a world of pretension and pretending, especially the media. It's like just the falsity of everything portrayed through the media about the political system, and it's such a sham, the whole thing. It's amazing once you wake up to it, and I don't watch TV anymore, even though I'll occasionally tune in just to the news to see what's happening. But it's like once you wake up, you just see it. I just see that these people are in a way soulless and just pathological liars. Like, the whole thing is based on deception of what they're telling us through the news. Mm-hmm. It must be a weird world to move in, really, to have so much of your life is taken up with this huge public deception, and to know that you're part of that. And it's certainly, it's so peculiar once you wake up to it.
Yes. I brought that topic up intentionally based on some conversations that I've been having since the last time you were on the show, in fact, which is a few weeks ago. To me, it seems like people who are not seeing what's happening to the world and really are involved in this sort of bubble or a vacuum of their daily activities. Not that that's bad, but they haven't expanded their awareness beyond that reality. And it just struck me that must be sort of like the opposite of nirvana or samadhi, that realization, that split-second realization where you understand all things and you're in this blissful state of awareness, expanded consciousness. This has to be the opposite. It has a certain creative aspect to it, but none of it is based in reality. None of it is based in truth. It's just... it's like a script to a movie or a play. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I could see myself. You know, I only woke up 5 years ago, and I had a pretty full life ahead of that. And you're busy with things and family and work and bills and everything in life and. I can see why. I mean, I think people can, like, not be in the know. They've just not exposed to the right information. And I mean, because these people have so widely taken over the television, the radio talk shows, newspapers, magazines, books, I can understand. I'm sympathetic because I think a lot of people, they just aren't exposed to other information, and until events hit them personally, then I think that's a shock to them to wake up more.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think in Canada, I think we're not as in a threatening a position as you are at this time in the States.
Yeah, that may be true, or you may be getting ready to face something much more severe. Also.
Well, I feel at times we have it coming because they haven't done such major false flag events up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This isn't, you know, discussing this isn't intended to belittle those that we say are asleep or unconscious, or just apathetic, or in denial. There are those who are confronted with certain facts about an event, whether you want to say 9/11 or chemtrails or fluoridated water. It doesn't matter. They are basically ignorant of the most basic elementary facts about the things that we face. And, if you tell them aspartame is rat poison, what do you mean? They serve that in a restaurant. They wouldn't serve that in a restaurant if it was rat poison. So there's a sort of a comfort in this self-imposed ignorance and aided and abetted through all the means that you described. Where does that sit on a scale of consciousness? If you were to, at least in terms of what's attainable while living on the earth, forget about the rest of the universe.
Well, as I understand it, partly from the Gurdjieff teaching and other mystical studies, it is that he describes most people's state of consciousness. He uses the phrase waking sleep. That we're awake, but we're like automatons. And in a person, the mind is always turning. The continual, the monkeys of the mind, it's called in yoga. But your continual stream of thinking and concerns about things that have happened to you earlier in the day and talking to people in your head and imagining things. So you're caught up all the time in these automated patterns of thinking and feeling and action, and you're controlled by all the different stimuli around you in your environment, and you're conditioned by your learning history. So Gurdjieff portrays a mass of people as in this automized state, and we're not fully present. We're never present. We're always dissociated. You know, we don't, a person can't walk down the street. When they walk down the street, their mind is continually turning, and they're always caught up in what's the most recent thing that's engaged their attention. So it's like we're there, but we're not there. We're like automatons. So I think that's an aspect of it, and people are just, you know, they have these patterns of conditioning. I mean, we were raised under this. I mean, I had no idea that we had been so systematically socially engineered for the past, for the whole period of my life, and that this was built into the media and education from my earliest time. So I was never free of it. I couldn't have imagined that someone would so deviously try to distort that experience of what I'd had through my life, like hiding so many facts of science in every department of knowledge, and, you know, trying to, you know, break down the family and introduce more and more sexual deviation and variations and titillation through the TV and, you know, the whole social agenda. And yeah, there's just so much.
Mm-hmm. Now I know that you described your awakening, even after 9/11, with a background as a forensic psychologist. Once you woke up, were you able to immediately apply what you had learned in the process of being this forensic psychologist to the situation, to recognize the same types of patterns, just operating with white shirts and neckties and
it's like nothing you're taught in advanced degrees in psychology really has anything to do with anything real in the world and how you actually practice. It's like it means almost nothing in a way.
Yes.
And it's not substantial, and I see all of modern thinking and criminology and psychology as misplaced and concerning the nature of consciousness and self and the heart and all these fundamental mistakes. But when I had the experience of waking up, I mean, I went through a period of experiencing these highly elevated states of consciousness and feeling I could see into other dimensions, and I had periods of feeling filled with light. It was like liquid light was being poured into me, and I experienced these states of rapture, like bliss and rapture. So, and in a way, over a period of time, this alternated with periods of like feeling anxiety and dread, and like the fearfulness of the situation. Like this was, as I learned about 9/11, as soon as I realized, oh, 9/11 was a fraud, then I turned to the internet, you know, to learn more and more, and starting watching movies, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. You know, it's like J. Edgar Hoover says, you know, it's a monster, it's a conspiracy so monstrous that a normal person can't believe it could exist. So, you know, I think you have to be brave to stay in it. I mean, at that time, and then seeing how we were being sprayed by chemtrails all the time and not knowing what was in them and what that was about. And so it set off a period of really quite bizarre. I got into certain practice of certain magic a bit at the time to try to turn things, and it led to a very unusual period, like a period of kind of enlightenment and realization and kind of psychical abilities. I was reading the Bible once, and all the words started shape-shifting on me, and I could see how that had been distorted, the translation of the Bible. Something was missing, and I had some very unusual experiences at that point.
I've been watching some certain videos and seen people shapeshift before me, so that's not that strange, I guess.
Yeah, no.
You wouldn't expect that to happen while reading a book, especially a sacred book. But
it was like I was being filled with spiritual knowledge, I felt at the time. That's what I felt it was. I had my father's sword. My father was a Canadian military officer, and I have his parade sword. And a sword in mysticism is a symbol of the element air in the tarot deck, and it represents mind. And it said if you have a sharp mind, like with a sword, you can cut away what's not essential and penetrate to the essence of something. So that's having a sharp mind is like having a sword. And then there's spiritual knowledge. I think I felt during that period I had these mystical and spiritual experiences was very intense. And it's actually taken several years to come down from that period and different things that happened.
Yeah, the general waking mind has a difficult time dealing with these higher concepts, and until it's had a sufficient amount of time to sort of contemplate what has occurred. If you've had any of the experiences like those that I've had and some others that I've talked to, when those experiences happen, you just know everything, and then it sort of wanes away a little bit, and certain elements of what you've experienced stay foremost in your consciousness. But then it could be 10 years later something comes up from that experience as if, well, now you're ready to deal with this. You were shown this 10 years ago. Here it is again now. Now you have to work with this. Have you had that experience at all?
I'm not exactly sure what you're saying. I mean, since that time, it's been trying to just abide in having the truth of these things. And
I think what I'm saying is, you know, there was a moment when I was walking up a mountain. I was walking my dog up a mountain north of Ascona, Switzerland. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. It was the summertime, and it was a very clear night and stars all over the place, unlike the footage we see from NASA. There were real stars out there and planets you could see very clearly. And as I was walking up, suddenly it was as if it was a bolt of lightning. It was that fast. I had this awareness of everything. I knew the answers to everything, the answers to the universe or the cosmos. And maybe it was a tenth of a second in length. And I contemplated that, and I've not stopped contemplating it since that time. Yet there are moments, many years after having such an experience, where one element that I recall or I recognize was in that flash of consciousness has appeared now, and it's something to deal with. That's what I'm trying to explain. If you had that sort of experience.
I'm not sure that was my experience a bit. Like a number of the things that happened since then have stayed in my life, like how I experienced things. The way I understand this, I believe we have this in the heart is said to be the bliss sheath, which is described as the size of a small grape, and it's described as a mass of unemergent light. And in my experience, it cracked the shell of the heart in a way, and it opened my heart, and it's like, as you were saying, it's like you can kind of feel, it's said in states of samadhi, are said to be based upon an awakened heart, and then your consciousness can expand so that it interpenetrates a volume of space. So the consciousness isn't just in your body. You can, if you're conscious, you could be aware of everything for 30 feet around you. Or Buddha was said to sense someone coming to visit him like 3 miles away. That in states of samadhi, you have that kind of expansion of consciousness in that way.
Bruce Lee used to do that all the time in his movies.
I imagine that with such intuitive martial artists that they tap that kind of awareness.
Yeah, I'm sort of making skills, a pun of it, but it's real, yes.
Yeah,
the perceptions.
Their skills aren't directed by the mind anymore, like it's beyond the mind. Like the usual mind that people are trapped in a way, is the obstacle to the experience of higher consciousness.
Yes. Okay,
so, whereas people think that consciousness, in a way, it's not just a higher state, isn't just something in your mind. It's something, if you can stop the turning of the mind and still the mind, you're closer to being conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think this experience of that inner bliss is really important. And in mysticism, that's defined, self-realization is defined as the dissolution of the false mind into the lotus of the heart. And I think if we awaken in that heart, then you can have that expansion of consciousness. And I think it awakens you to that light within yourself, and that light can illuminate your higher centers. Like that was my, at one point I felt so incensed because I realized where in Canada I thought there were underground bases. And I had all these revelations about things that had occurred in my life that I'd never understood, and all these things kind of fit together and had all these different intuitions. And I felt so incensed by what was being done to people in their underground realms. And it was like I tried to see through the ethers to kind of confront these demons through the spaces somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of piercing their realm, and like, yeah, I felt such wrath move through myself. I'm usually a very mild-mannered person in a way, and I've been influenced more by Christianity, where God is like loving and peaceful, but in the Old Testament, God is also wrathful, and when people's sinfulness becomes so extreme, He manifests his wrath,
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that wrath of God move through me when I realized the wickedness of everything being done.
Yes, I understand. So in a way, you've had that same impression. How we perceive these things is going to be different with every person on the face of the planet. Mm-hmm. If there are 7 billion people, you're going to have 7 billion different interpretations of the same event. But the point is, the information came through, you see. And I found my mind contemplating what had occurred, and there was this reassurance that everything was okay. That mm-hmm. was the underlying theme. It was a feeling that I had been downloaded all this information, and that at some point the information would surface as it was, let's say, appropriate for me to deal with that particular issue or a set of issues. And at the time, I was merely researching, but I was researching many of the things that I write about today without the benefit of the mass communication that we have today with the internet and computers. One had to go out and find the place where the book was that would possibly open up a door and shed a little bit of light on a particular topic. And that's really what we've lost. Everything has become so automated that we don't let the natural forces do their magic, if you want to use that word. We were created to be sentient beings and knowing beings and beings, not beings. And I think
described us as human doings.
Yes.
Because people are always doing things.
Yes. So, you know, there's a way to liberate someone from this. That's what I want to get to, is the solutions. And I know Gurdjieff wrote and spoke about the fourth way. Is there a connection that, without you having to do a whole lecture on it, I don't want to inconvenience you, but is there a simple, easy to understand way that anyone can ask themselves a series of questions or look at something a little differently and maybe arrive at some different conclusions than the ones that they have been making?
Well, Gurdjieff's main method is something he calls self-remembering. And what you do is, it's connected to the idea that we're not properly conscious of ourselves. We're not properly awake. So whenever you remember at any time during your day, you try to wake up and bring your attention to the moment, experiencing everything going on within you and around you. So you start trying to have moments of self-remembering during your day. But most of the time you completely forget about it and you just get caught up in doing one thing after another. So you might try to self-remember, but you'll forget about it in 5 minutes and you'll go through your whole day and you won't remember till the end of the day. And then all of a sudden you'll remember. And you can look back and you can see how you did all those things while you were so caught up in it, you weren't really conscious of yourself fully as you were doing all those things. So this process of self-remembering is a way of making an intentional effort to wake up. Like Gurdjieff emphasizes that consciousness cannot evolve unconsciously. Like he says, like the psychology of man's possible evolution, the next step in our evolution, it can't happen mechanically. Okay, it's not mechanical evolution. Instead, it requires an effort on our part. And a conscious effort to wake up, to acquire real eye. And otherwise it won't happen. Like it's a lot in the New Age literature. It's like, oh, everybody's going to wake up and attain this new state of consciousness. And it's going to happen. But Gurdjieff would say, no, it can't happen. It can only be the consequence of our own efforts.
It's become like stand in line, buy your ticket for the event.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's like everybody thinks they're going to have this new consciousness, and until it happens, they can watch TV for 3 hours a day and eat all their processed GM foods, and like it won't happen. It will be too late. In a way, Gurdjieff, you know, he has a quote where he says, if people could see the horror of the lives of ordinary people turning around in circles of insignificant interests and insignificant aims, if they could see what they were missing, they would realize that there is only one thing that is serious: how to escape, how to be free. So yes, this method of self-remembering, it's like a method of trying to wake up and get out of that spell of automize consciousness and wake up to the living fully in the moment.
Yeah, I've often wondered what it would be like to convince the members of Congress in a special hearing what it's like to breathe chemtrails and just have them each take a snort out of a bottle filled with chemtrails. And then wash it down with a glass of Gulf of Mexico cocktail, and see if they can deny what's happening there. You know, the deceit and the corruption that is there. That's what we confront to make right changes on this planet. It's always corruption has to be consulted, or we have to gain permission from those that are corrupt. This is upside down from the creation. This is the exact opposite of how the universe was created. It can only collapse in on itself. Am I missing something? more.
No, I agree. I mean, it's absolutely insane. Everything, you know, every aspect of our life, like our police, like the police and intelligence don't serve the people, and the military, every aspect of our society has been perverted and degraded. And it's insane. It is. These people are insane, and they're soulless themselves, I believe. There's something in them that's empty. Like Gurdjieff, he has a special term, hasnamas, or hasnamas individuals, which he says the main, what hasnamas individuals are people without the experience of objective conscience. Like they have no conscience, like a psychopath. Like mm-hmm. these people, in a way, they're empty inside. They're pathological liars, and you catch them in one lie, and they just tell another lie. They're sociopaths, you know. Mm-hmm. So they don't have this function of conscience, and then they're ruled by their greed and their desire for sexuality and the desire for power. So they're controlled by the lower aspect of their nature. But these people, yes. in a way, they're empty inside. They have no hearts. In a way, people do sell their souls or lose their souls. And I see a lot of our politicians is really quite soulless.
Mm-hmm. Now, that is, you're describing the system that's imposed upon everyone as the mainstream belief system for functioning and existing on this planet. And if you were to go one by one to each person on the planet and ask a simple question, are you happy? Most would say no. I would say that you would have a, you know, if they were sitting on a teeter-totter, a very small group would be up in the air on one end, and those would be the people who were happy.
And then only for a moment until they come down.
Exactly. I have a song that I like to play that kind of depicts what we go through in life. This is from the mind and the heart of a then 18-year-old Nellie Mackay. It's called Work Song.
Sunshine and good times that I have to pass on the way to my job, on the way to my work, on the way to that slobber and hover and jerk is my boss. Today is my boss, to stay is my supervisor when I'm in my grave. A slave on the run, still under the gun of Attila the Hun with a cinnamon bun. I don't know, son, was there something I missed? I don't think Fritz Lang was a fantasist. Metropolis exists, is this? If you listen close, you can hear the piss. Sniff or a snack or a taste in your haste to get right back on track. Out of whack with the pack, but acquiring the knack of ignoring the rustle it quietly sees and the hustle to buy at the end that you breathe.
Nelly Mackay and Work Song, Doing Doo-Wah. Sort of a crazy song, isn't it?
But yeah, that, very clever, excellent lyrics.
Yes. 18 years old when she recorded that.
Wow.
I think she's about 25 right now, maybe even a little bit older. But remarkable talent. She plays keyboards too, piano and what have you, and writes and arranges all of that. That there's a conscious individual showing everybody else what the world is like from a perspective of creativity. And I think an open heart, a general caring about the world and where it's headed. Any other comment you want to make along these lines, Christopher? Not like we have to wrap this topic up at all.
Yeah, I think people, in a way, people can be closer to their self and their heart when they're younger, and they tend to lose that as they get older and are conditioned. I think also modern culture is so complex, and all the kind of artificiality of the media creates more false personality in people. And whereas people who live closer to the land or like in third world countries more, in a way they are much more in touch with their essence still. Like Gurdjieff distinguishes between what is in a person's essence is what you are in your being, versus your false personality, it's how you've been conditioned, or all those ideas you take into you from outside of yourself, but which aren't based on your own being experiences. So people in modern society, you acquire more and more false personality at the expense of a person's essence. So then people's essences, they remain underdeveloped in their essence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Gurdjieff depicts, like how he says we need a second education, which is like to break down the false ego to get back to our essence. And I think that's what we all need to be doing in our lives in this time.
I might differ with this terminology and just say we need a first education, because the first one is nothing more than indoctrination
exactly,
to a system.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the true meaning of the word education means to bring out knowledge already inherent within us. Mm-hmm. That was the original meaning of education, but it's totally artificial in modern times, and it's all ideas imposed from without that you learn by rote. And you kind of don't really, you learn it by words, you don't really cognize what the words refer to. So it's most of the knowledge is empty. I mean, I remember in university even studying and passing an exam, and 2 months later, I couldn't really remember even what it was about or that information. Like, it's not something that was in my being. It was mm-hmm. only acquired in my mind, and you can lose that, whereas what you attain in the development of your essence is yours. Like,
Yeah, you know, with all the truth that's coming out, and this is part of why I chose the word pretending. In some discussions I've had with various people on the planet during the past week or so, there seems to be this exercise in, and really it's an exercise in futility, to debunk the truth, as if it itself is a hoax, or as if it needs to defend itself. What is threatened is the lies. What is threatened are the illusions and the false egos attached to those innumerable illusions. They're everywhere.
Exactly. And once we begin to see that, and just that's really important that people wake up and start seeing that, like how they're deceived by the media. You know, and by the educational system and just everything. We need to awaken to that. Yeah, and it's shocking to do that because, I used to believe, for instance, that we lived in democratic countries, and, you know, I didn't realize that our political parties were really controlled by a shadow government of international Zionist bankers and psychopathic corporate elite, and that these people have controlled our government for the past century, you know, and the whole thing of a democracy was a complete lie, you know, and I thought the news reported the news. I didn't think that the TV was designed to deceive us as to what was really going on consistently, mm-hmm. day to day, and everything. You know, and then the medical system is damaging people more than it's helping people. You know, just every aspect, it's pretty traumatizing a bit. It breaks down all that false belief you had in, you know, the goodness of our government and our religious figures and our educators.
Yeah, yes. And they've all failed, haven't they? I mean, you know, we keep voting these jokers in, or at least somehow they get in, whether it's on the level or it's a corrupt system. I'm inclined to say it's corrupt and it's predetermined before it even happens. It's just another exercise in futility for people to go out and vote. we've captured the corruption on videotape. It's not too hard to conclude that it's corrupt. But people are putting their faith in that system, which is all based on lies and deception. So, you know, they have to wake up and they have to realize that this has occurred. And you know, when we talk about this, the attacks begin. Okay, there's always another round of attack with each chapter of truth that comes forth. It's how they operate. And other people who are maybe not really interested like we are studying these things and doing serious research, those who are listening to a show like this or listening to many different shows and maybe reading up on what's going on in the world have to be asking themselves, if these world leaders are so righteous, why do they keep screwing everything up? Why is everything an endless stream of failure upon failure that has to be fixed, that has to be corrected or adjusted by the same individuals, by the way? I mean, do we not see this game that's being played upon us?
Yeah, and most people don't. They still don't. I mean, the masses still don't. That's the problem. And I mean, it's not democracy. I mean, someone has to have such wealth even to enter into politics to manage a campaign, and then they select people who fit into their program. So it's like the political parties. Well, I mean, I think there's been a large influx of people into the parties to try to bring them back on course a bit. I mean, I do think that's been really useful, that people start realizing that they, you know, got to get make the effort again.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it doesn't matter if you're the best poker player in the world. You still have to pay your entrance fee.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah. And what they're telling us is the system is so upright and forthcoming and honest and inspiring that yes, it's you have to reach people. It's difficult to reach the voters these days. It's very expensive to do that because they have to get this word out. And that's not at all what we've witnessed, at least in the last four elections, I can tell you, and the presidential elections. It goes way back more. I'm not kidding anyone in saying that. I'm just saying we see outright attempts or outright plans to install a particular individual in office for an agenda, which is outside the spectrum of who we vote for president. Has nothing to do with that. But it's the show. It's the illusion. it's the pretending of what is real. And it is difficult to go back to that when you see it, isn't it? It's impossible, really, to go back.
You can't. I don't think you can. It changes it irrevocably. Like, I can't turn on the TV now. I just see through them. You can't. We can't go back. But there's also level upon level of awakening. Like, it's not just one. I mean, a person really needs to come to the point of grasping, in my view, the fact that there is a group of psychopathic deviants. However it works, call them the Illuminati or the Committee of 300 or call them Zionists or call them international banksters or however it works. People have to realize that this is a scheme that's gone on for decades, and it's real. And these people seriously want to reduce world population, and it sickens people. That to them, it's nothing to murder people or to sicken people or to steal the wealth of the nation and of the citizens. You know, for most normal people, in a way, it's hard to believe there are people like this in the world, in a way they're a different breed apart. And so we're at a disadvantage. Most people are at a disadvantage to these people, and they've certainly set up their systems so cunningly over the past decades. It's very frustrating to know how do we change it? How do we take control back of our countries?
Well, that's all they do. That's how they've been able to ramp it up so quickly.
Yeah.
That's all they do. They're not going out doing what the average individual is doing. They're constantly plotting on what's our next move. What's our next move?
Exactly. Yeah. They don't do any. They don't contribute anything in a positive way in terms of producing something.
They're parasites.
Yeah, they're parasites. Yeah, they live off others and suck the blood off. It's like there's the joke about the Rockefellers. The Rockefellers. He prayed on his knees one day a week, and then he prayed on his neighbors the remaining six. I think that's it's so true. Like, you hear that quote from him where he says, "Competition is a sin." Which is such a peculiar statement, because they're the most ruthlessly competitive people who can't tolerate other people, the freedom or independence in other people.
Mm-hmm.
You look at their behavior, it's the most, you couldn't possibly be more sinful in terms of what they've done. Cutthroat things through the decades to steal people's wealth and gain a monopoly in all these areas of the multinational corporations. It's astonishing what they've attained. And in a way, it's been there the whole time, but people just didn't see it. It's kind of right in front of our face, but we didn't see it.
But then in another sense, too, this has all been a magic trick as well. It's like pulling the rabbit out of the hat, or making the scarf, the 30-foot scarf, disappear.
Yeah, it's deception, and that their magic is by way of deception. Like the Mossad that says, we wage war by means of deception. We wage war, and in a way, that's their black magic. I mean, they have in a way cast a spell over. The life of our civilization. They put a spell on people and fostered a complete delusional system among the population. And now we have, Christians going over and taking part in these horrendous wars, and the Christians are completely dummied down. Like the police don't protect us anymore. Now the police are starting to be used against the people, and the military are taking part in spraying people with chemtrails, giving them diseases across the country. And the military's part of this. It's like everything is so upside down. And
And they do this under the guise of protecting the country, protecting democracy, as you mentioned, which is communism, really. And it's, you know, they taught us to think that it means that we have a voice and that that voice means something in the end. It doesn't mean what we think it means. And that's where what Gurdjieff said about remembering who we are is so important. I talk about remembering a lot on this show.
Yeah.
Because my experience led me to remembering, and I'm constantly remembering. And that's really a process that it's not something necessarily that goes on in your head. But it's if you look at what a member is, it's something that belongs to a larger body, right? So we have, I can say, an arm on my body is a member of my body. Remembering is sort of rebuilding the whole body, a piece at a time. Would you say that's more the process that Gurdjieff was talking about in a spiritual sense, in an awareness sense of knowing who we are? Is putting ourselves back together the right way?
When I self-remember, it brings me to awareness of my breath, and your breath is very important, being centered and breathing more deeply, and sensing yourself through your body. Like Gurdjieff said, that self-remembering begins with self-sensing. So I find now I can experience myself all through my body simultaneously. And I think it's through your blood, because I think consciousness in the body is connected to blood flow. And you can kind of feel the blood. You can feel yourself as a whole. Like, we got to bring our awareness back into our physical to ground it in our body and our sensation. So it's getting consciousness out of being up in the mind and the head, and bringing it back into the whole of the body. And I even recommend people, like, tap yourself over the heart area to try to have feeling in that part of yourself. So as you say, it's like trying to experience the whole of yourself in the present moment. And that's and it is self-remembering. Like, I've been trying or doing it as a practice now for 40 years. Like, it's just something you keep coming back to, and it develops something in you that you keep coming back to. In a way, it's the that experience of self when you're more awakened.
Yes.
And that develops through life, through doing it.
See, we are marketed the concept of being members of societies or groups or clubs or teams or events. And not that that is intrinsically bad, but it diverts the consciousness off of the individual's remembering of his or her true nature and identifying with a group concept or outside of themselves that really never allows them to ground themselves in the truth of who they are. It's always going to be who they are in the role they're playing in that other body, you see? Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. I don't know if you want to comment.
Yeah, no, it's quite in accord with what Gurdjieff is explaining. Like, he says how we form our personality, and the personality is like persona, which is a mask from Greek theater, and you'd put it over your face, and that was your persona. And our personality is like we go out and we take part in all these different functions, and we have different personas that we adopt in different situations. But none of those, in a way, are our true self. And what we have to get back to is being in our essence. And it also reminded me, you were saying earlier about not believing. And I remember when I began to study the fourth way, and Uspensky says, the most important thing is believe nothing. Like, if you believe it, it's, you know, that's not the idea. You have to take the ideas and make your own observations and have experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's only knowledge plus experience that gives you understanding.
And
so
wisdom.
Most of our knowledge, it's not matched with any experience. So it's not real knowledge. We don't develop understanding.
Yeah, that's the belief system. Well,
yeah, exactly.
That's something that I arrived at on my own conclusions and out of my own experience. And as I listen to others talk about the keys to success or the way to get something accomplished, or, you know, and that could be being raptured up into heaven, they say, well, you have to believe. That's the first thing, okay? That's a popular term. That's been very ingrained in people's consciousness, that's how you talk about it. You say, well, if you're a Christian, you're a believer. Or if you're a Buddhist, you're a believer. Or if you're a Muslim, you're a believer. And the enemies are the non-believers. Well, that's a setup to me. It's already set up, because what Gurdjieff was saying, what you're saying, what I'm saying, is that belief is an assumption that something is so because someone told you that. But that doesn't make it true. The knowledge of the truth is far more powerful than belief in or assuming something. On what basis? And it doesn't demand any proof. It doesn't demand anything beyond what everyone else has accepted. That doesn't make it true. If that was the case, then our government is not lying to us. We have a wonderful economy. People aren't being thrown out of their homes. People aren't being poisoned by the food and the water and the air. All of that is made up stuff. You see, what the truth represents. You see, it's all turned around backwards. It's all a bunch of lies being fed to people as their reality. They've accepted lies as the reality. They've accepted the false self, the ego, as who they are.
Yeah.
It's all a pack of lies.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the end of the show. No.
So we're certainly living in an interesting time, and the pace of events seems to just be escalating, I think, internationally, and with these kind of revolutions occurring in the Far East. I think this is really positive sign, and I just Canadians, they're so fast asleep up here, I don't know what to do. It's funny how you wake up and how impossible it is to help awaken other people to what's going on. It's a very curious experience.
Well, they say, well, until it affects me, I'm not going to worry about it, but they don't realize that it affects you and what you're paying for gasoline prices and for all your goods because of the outrageous gasoline prices you're paying. But they've become accustomed to it, you see.
Yeah.
They've had to cut corners, right, to be able to maintain at least the basic requirements of what Nellie Mackay described in the work song, you know.
Yeah.
I have to get up. I have to go do the job. I have to come back. I have to sit in front of the TV and wake up the next day and do it all over again with a bunch of little intrusions thrown in the mix. And that is not being. It's not being. It's not remembering who we are. It's a total subservience to a program or a whole series of programs. How do we, you and I have discussed this on previous shows, and we know that the heart is the key to people waking up. They've got to learn to open up their hearts. They have to come to the point, Christopher, where they have the courage to make that decision, to look at themselves that way. Do you have any comments?
Yeah, well, I think that's true. I think people... have to be brave to do it. They have to be brave to look at themselves objectively Gurdjieff emphasizes the experience of remorse of conscience. Like, how could we have let this happen in our countries? Like, well, you know, I mean, it strikes me, see, also people, they're mainly concerned, well, how it affects them, and they're not going to do anything until it affects them. And you just see the kind of selfishness, the crystallized egoism in that attitude. Like, people see in a way they don't care, you know, like 2 million people have been murdered in the Middle East. Oh, but people don't care as long as, you know, you secure your oil resources, you know, and you're protected from terrorism. And in a way, it's like, it's like people, I feel so moved by kind of like the wrath of like the sense of justice and the inhumanity and intolerable injustice to people, and how this has gone on for decades and we've allowed it. We've never dealt with this. How can, you know, I think humankind needs to experience this remorse of conscience and then to kind of face the lies of what we've become. And then we, as you say, I believe we have to have courage, which means like having a new heart from the French. So I do, as you say, I think it is this turning in the heart and getting back to our essence. And the other one last thing is when Gurdjieff, in his book, his grandson asks him, is there anything that can save humankind? And Gurdjieff says there's only one way to save humankind, and that is if they had an organ implanted in them which reminded them all the time of the inevitability of their own death and of the death of everybody around them. And it's like if you knew that, if you remembered the inevitability of death, I don't think you'd sit for 3 to 4 hours watching ridiculous dramas and comedies on TV. And so much of what we do, if you're faced with death, these things would drop away because they have no real significance.
Yes, and at the same time, we have this dichotomy because consciously people will say, oh, well, you know, when it's my time to die, I'll deal with that then. But all their waking actions are based upon this subconscious fear of dying. And so you come upon a guy changing his tire on the side of a highway, and there's a 20-mile backup because at the front of the line, everyone's hitting their brakes, looking to see if they can witness death that they have themselves have escaped at that moment. I mean, this is what I see when I'm in a 20-mile traffic jam, and the guy's still changing his tire an hour later. You know, this obsession with death in the movies and everything. We can't have a story unless somebody dies. And we have nothing but fear of death that way. And I can tell you, there's nothing to fear about death.
Yeah, it's very liberating to have the type of experiences you have where you realize that you know you're not, you're simply your physical body, that there's, you're something else. And yeah, it's a very powerful experience to have that knowledge of that.
Well, we're moving on into the angelic realm now. if I could ask you to hang in there a little bit more, I want to play a song from Natalie Cole that I think describes her own personal experience. Of course, it's not stated as such, but if I were to intuit what this song is about, I would say that she came to her own realization when she described an angel on her shoulder. Christopher, your thoughts on Natalie Cole's message there?
That was beautiful and moving and brings up a lot of sadness. I feel sadness at times. You know, Gurdjieff talks about feeling, helping to bear the sorrow of our endlessness. And sometimes I hear a song like that and it kind of brings to me the aware of the kind of tragedy of humankind. But it's a beautiful, inspired song. I personally, it reminds me also of an experience I had where I felt enwrapped in the wings of angels in a sleep state on one occasion when I was going through a very intense period.
Yes. I can say this with a conviction and authority of my experience. There are angels. I've seen them. I've been ministered to by them. And I can hear in this song, someone else has been ministered to an angel. And you don't make that connection through the head,
no,
through the mind. It's a heart thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I can tell you that we also have guardian angels from other planets here with the same conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And this, knowing that, should give everyone out there who is afraid to take the first step in remembering who they are and escaping this reality of pretension,
mm-hmm.
pretending to be somebody that we're not, when it's much easier to become and be who you are, who you were intended to be. And you know that answer. Am I wrong in that, Christopher? Don't we all have that inside of us?
I believe at one level we have deep knowledge of ourselves, and when we recover it again, we remember it, that we had forgotten it. But it comes back to us, the knowledge of the self. Yes, that's what I believe. Because we came, it's like we came, kicked out of the Garden of Eden, but we come from this realm, a spiritual realm. And when we recover it again, it's like a homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
And that knowledge is there, hidden within us. But in their conscious or mind, people generally aren't aware of that level of self.
Yeah. So it's sort of a metaphor of itself. Yet, let me say a dichotomy also, because... one feels alone. This is a process that the individual has to choose to undertake. But then the process of doing that is a combination of self-appraisal and working on yourself, and then joining others of like mind and like heart.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I think there have been teachers who've attained different levels of realization, and there are valuable teachings and teachers and groups. But as you say, also, I've never been a group person myself, and I think that's how a lot of these teachings get distorted, because they become distorted within the organization of a religion or sect.
Mm-hmm. Well, notice I didn't say organized.
Yeah.
But joining with those of like mind is, you know, can be for a higher goal, a higher purpose, not a repetition of the same constructs that we're imprisoned by right now. That's the whole point. This is liberating, self-liberating, and at the same time, you begin to see the oneness of the whole universe. And and in a positive light, I must say, you know. So
I think we're magical beings with capacities far beyond what people imagine, and that's a very positive element there.
Yes.
So I think people do have to remember, like, how will they answer, like, if we face the Creator and we were to be asked, well, what did you do? You know, in these times, what did you do? And we need to be able to face that question. And I think we do need to have courage, and we do need to work together and work with other people. Like, we're responsible for other citizens on this planet. It's not just ourselves. You know, we have to overcome that egocentrism of just being concerned about our welfare. It's, you know, if a person opens your heart, it's like, in a way, you feel like we're part of human race. Like, if I see a young child in Palestine, you know, it's like he's my child in a way. You know, he's all our children. All the children are our children, you know, and all the colors. And, you know, I think if we're awakened, then we don't have that differentiate, you know, we have that feeling of being part of humankind and caring for humankind. And
yeah, I also agree with you. I think we also have to recognize how we are giving away our power, and by doing so, we are contributing to our own demise. Ignorantly contributing, in other words, our power is being demanded of us. We're told we must do this, we must do that. And that serves a very select few on the planet, and it doesn't serve the masses. Doesn't serve me, doesn't serve you. I'm sure anyone out there can say the things they're told they have to do to live on this planet somehow don't seem to be fair to those being required to do it. Well, duh, wake up. We're giving away our power. And we don't have to do that, do we, Christopher?
No, we need to reclaim our power, for sure.
Okay, well, I appreciate you staying on the show over time, actually. Would you like to make a closing comment? We had nothing planned tonight, by the way, and as usual, you did an admirable job.
Yeah, I could talk for hours.
Well, I could too.
I'm out here listening. Some excellent shows. Last night was a great show. That was amazing video of that spacecraft over the dome there, and amazing things happening in life at this time. We need to be awake, and you know, we're in an important time, and we need to attain our souls. And I believe, people, we all need to make efforts in working on ourselves. Wake up and to open our hearts. These people that we're opposing, they're soulless. They're empty inside. And in a way, it's sad, but we need to attain our souls.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Don, for having me back on, and thank you, BBS.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you being on Evident Footprints, and I want to let the listening audience know that you will be back with us again. I'm going to get that date up here real fast. I was working on archives today.
It's the 23rd.
You're going to be
Wednesday
with us on
the 23rd.
Yeah, that's Wednesday the 23rd. So. I look forward to that. I want to encourage folks to go check out your books, too. Beelzebub's Tales to His Grandson, God, Science, and the Secret Doctrine, Psychological Illusions. Certainly, those should be read by anyone interested in discovering a deeper understanding of who we are and how to go about discovering oneself. Christopher, thank you for the work that you do, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Don. Good night.
Okay. Good night. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest, Christopher Holmes, PhD. You can visit Christopher at his radio show every other Saturday on bbsradio.com, station 1. The show is called Zero Point. His website, zeropoint.ca. Pay him a visit there. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio tonight, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.